The Jen, Gabe, and Chewy podcast is sponsored by Celsius Energy Drink, and I am here to tell you it makes a huge difference in my mornings. With a unique blend of essential energy and key vitamins, Celsius is your partner to an active lifestyle. My favorite, the peach vibe. Learn more at Celsius.com and pick up Celsius Energy Drinks today. Running her mouth, she wants to ride it. She's trying to hide it. I'm cool as ever, she's too excited. Her man look like he wanna fight. He ain't doing nothing but running his mouth. Talk about it. Gabe, do you think I'm smart? Making plans, we sit and count.
Our chairs stack it just like a mountain. You heard what was that? I cannot hear you.
What topic are we talking about?
Oh, there we go. I guess just generally smart. You know, like everyday sort of things.
Well, you're quizzing me right after I saw you do something really dumb. Like if you're sitting down to take the ACT, yeah, my money's on you. Doing everyday life stuff, I've got some questions suddenly.
What do you mean?
So, Jen has this tea over here, and I don't know what supplement she decides that she's putting in there. I'm just getting the TVs, getting the studio all situated. All of a sudden, I just hear her start shaking, and she yells, "Hot!" And starts doing it again, yells, "Hot!" Instead of just, like, stirring in something, she threw on the cover, which obviously has a hole in it because you need to drink out of it. She covered the hole with her thumb and then just started shaking it to mix it in.
Hold on. Would you rather be book smart or street smart? I would take street smart every day of the week and twice on Tuesday.
I would also take street smart because it comes in handy more often. Like, you're not taking the ACT, as I did a few months ago, regularly. But you are interacting with human beings and problem solving and, you know, navigating situations every day, all the time. Now, this one was not one of my final ones. I will admit that. So, again, just
She did it once, and you're like, okay, that's hot. Maybe I shouldn't do it. And she's like, nope, got to keep going.
I've got one of these these cups, Chew, these paper cups or whatever.
Yeah, can see. Yeah.
Okay, and I put my finger over the hole where you drink. Yeah. And then there's another one for the air. So I put my other thumb over that one. And I just started shaking it. But the tea...
Yeah, turns out...
came through the holes and burned my thumbs.
Okay, so what's the perfect percentage? Because I'm top heavy when it comes to street smarts. I'm probably 90-10. Gabe, you're probably close to 60-40. 60-40, Gabe?
I'll take 60-40.
Joshy's a fine balance of 50-50. Jen, I have no idea where you're at. I could have studied for 19 days for the SAT, and I ain't getting a 28. So my guess is you might be a little top-heavy, too.
Top-heavy.
I mean,
top heavy,
but the other way.
Smart?
Yeah.
I don't think so. I'm pretty street smart also. So that's the thing. I'm like 90-90. That's what I am.
Yeah, okay.
180 intelligence.
170%. Way to go.
That's my IQ. There it is.
We can't ignore the fact there that Chewy just added 90 plus 90 and came with 170.
Yeah, again, he said he's...
There you go.
Said,
there's my 90.
Heavy. I was about to say, he's top heavy.
To illuminate further.
We knew he was top heavy. We can just move on. You already admitted to being top heavy.
In that instance, I think I obviously misjudged the temperature of the tea. I thought by now, after it's sitting out this morning during our production meeting, right? Because I poured this at, you know, about 40 minutes ago at this point. I thought that it would have cooled much more than it has by now. That was not the case. So Gabe then is like, what are you doing? Like, I'm trying to mix in my supplement. And he said, how about a stir?
Your spoons.
So, hold on. Why tea? Why tea? Because tea to me is bougie.
Really?
Put it on the poll. Is tea bougie?
It is bougie.
Maybe it's because I was in the UK for a week last week, and that's all they'll give you is tea. No, they'll give
you
coffee,
because
I
mean,
they offer tea.
I feel like you've been at least drinking tea during the show, just because you've been going through the nose thing, the ENT stuff. You've gone out to Advent to get that taken care of. You've lost your voice a couple of times, so the tea's good for the voice.
That's right, yes. And we are getting closer, as you can hear, to me not being... you know, the nanny anymore, you know, Fran Drescher or whatever variation you want to talk about. Because when I had that nose procedure done, it was like, welcome to Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Can I take your order? Like, it was real bad, but now it's getting better. It feels like it's getting closer to what I imagine my voice is. You know, that's the other thing, Chew. you don't really know what your voice sounds like unless you listen to yourself, you know, like on a show or on a voicemail or something like that. Your voice doesn't sound in your head the way your voice sounds to other people. That was a wild thing to learn when I was a kid.
Yeah, it's like your breath.
How is it like your breath? Please expound.
You can't smell if you have bad breath. You have no idea. Someone has to tell you.
Just no, like you do the little.
It doesn't work. You do the No. It's just like your voice. You have no idea what your voice sounds like until you hear it back on the radio or something. I like my voice. Gay people love your voice.
Yeah, I like my voice. The thing is, I think you just have to like your voice. There's nothing you can do about it. It's just is what it is.
What are you going to change your voice?
What if you cut your uvula off?
Why would you do that?
Seems painful.
Change your voice.
That would not change your voice. There's no way. I don't think the uvula is for your voice. I think it has a more
what does it do?
Important job than that.
What's the important job since you're the book smart one?
I'm going to Google it right now. Yeah, I want to have this conversation very quickly as we were talking about book smart and street smart. And obviously, I saw yesterday that Apple is putting out a new AI iPhone. Feels like a little too many eyes there, but I digress. The AI iPhone. And I was sitting with Chase yesterday. Chase is our 15-year-old, almost 16, crazy. And I said to him, how do you feel about AI? Just trying to start conversation with the 15-year-old. And he says, I mean, it's good. I think there are good things about it, but it's also a little intimidating. I said, I got to be honest. It's making us dumber as a society, right?
Yeah.
Because we no longer wait to excavate information from our brains. Like, things that we know are in there, you give yourself what? Joshy, how long do you give yourself to find information that you know is in your brain, you just can't recall very quickly?
No more than 7 seconds.
And then what?
I Google it.
You Google it, yeah. I think that 7 seconds is probably very short. I was going to say, like,
statistically, you won't recall something if you don't in the first 10 seconds.
That's just not true.
Not with my brain.
Look it up. Look it up.
Josh, spent time in my car driving around for a half hour before I found the house finally.
You can still recall things after then, but if you don't have it almost instantly, you are likely never going to get it.
I can't imagine that that's true.
I promise you it is.
Did you Google it?
No, because we all say when we were trying to recall it, we're like, it'll come to me. It'll come to me. And most times it eventually does.
That's what I'm thinking.
And then in the middle of the segment, when we moved on, you just yell out the name you were thinking of.
Yeah.
Oh, French class. Sorry, that's my go-to always, Honey, I Shrunk the Kids. It's old reference.
Isn't your concern there about making us dumber the same concern of people had when it was like, oh, the printing press. Now you can look up in encyclopedias or, oh, now there's Google or Ask Jeeves. Isn't it just kind of the continuation?
Ask Jeeves?
The continuation of therefore moving past recall?
Maybe, but I feel like it's getting worse. Like, I'm walking with Dario the other day and we're having a conversation and I said, oh, remember that thing? What was that thing? And he's like, yeah, I can't remember it. And he immediately goes on his phone. I go, give it a minute. Like, let your brain computer work for a second. It'll probably process and get you to the answer you're looking for. But he's so quick to grab his phone and have it answer the question for him. I feel like, and I could be, you know, cuckoo la la here about this, but I feel like that is a muscle, Gabe. You have to work. Recall is a muscle. You have stomach.
What are you chuckling about over there?
You know what I'm chuckling
about. You don't use it, you lose it?
Yeah, thank you very much. I was trying to recall that, and I couldn't. You didn't give me 7 seconds.
Am I wrong about that? Do you feel it similarly?
No, I think that you, yeah, like the fact that, and I know Chewy makes fun of Josh, but like the fact that Josh reads as much as he does is good for his brain. Like that is a good thing for you to do. Put the screen down, just kind of get lost in something else, consume different various, you know, types of media. Yeah, I think you need to be using your brain more instead of just automatically relying on, oh, I can just look this up.
The fear with AI is simply just, obviously, besides the obvious take over the world stuff, is people just stop doing stuff. Like, nobody, you will no longer.
Besides the fact that AI is going to rise up and kill us all, other than that, here's what I'm concerned about.
It's the simple fact of, like, you'll just never learn anything. Because at least when I Google something, I will then know that answer for however long. When AI is just doing it, I just don't have that skill whatsoever because I'm not doing anything.
Jen, like, you're the closest to me in age. Do you remember having to use encyclopedias?
Oh, we had the Encyclopedia Britannicas.
Yeah, we had the same one. Funk and Wagnalls. Yes.
Really? And remember when that was actually a profession? Like, somebody went
door to door
selling those things, or Tupperware, or vacuums.
Yeah.
Oh, that's gone the way of the dodo, hasn't it? Everybody buys everything online now.
Can I ask you a question? Is it not plagiarism if you put everything in quotes?
For, like, a report?
Yeah.
Are we doing a thesis or a paper? No, you can't.
Yeah,
put,
I was doing my thesis.
I'm trying to figure out what do you care if you quote something?
I mean, technically, it would not be plagiarism if you quote it and cite it properly.
Correct. If you cite it. But I do think that teachers, and again, I don't want to speak for all teachers, but I think they have a certain threshold of how much they want you to footnote.
If you turn in an entire paper with starting with a quotation mark, ending with a quotation mark 10 pages later, I'm guessing you're not going to get a good grade.
Is it like the definition of plagiarism is taking somebody's other stuff and passing it off as your own?
But his point is, if
that's why you put it in quotes.
You put it in quotes. You've cited it properly, whether that's APA, so, whatever style.
Yeah, so but at least there's a chance, Gabe. There's probably, you might slip it by 10% of the time, which I'm willing to take.
A fully quoted paper? You think you're going to slip it by the teacher?
So, Chew, now...
Again, this is why he is only 10% book smart, 90% street smart.
But now, Chew, they push everything through a plagiarism software. So now every paper gets pushed through this software, and it's basically cross-referencing the work that the student is turning in versus all of the works on the interwebs. And if it pulls, and there's a percentage, again, that you're allowed to quote-unquote cite or, use their verbiage, and then if you pass that threshold, they will flag your paper for plagiarism and you'll fail it. Yeah. Huh. Big, big business now.
Glad I went to school in the 80s.
Went to school is in quotation marks.
Yikes. Thank you.
All right, we got to take a break here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Got a lot of stuff to get to today. We do have Adam Schefter coming up. We'll talk to him about some of the cuts around the league and other news in the NFL. Sophia Minert's going to join us as well to talk about the Brew Crew, who are doing fantastic. Final month of the season here, right? We're on the doorstep of September. Brewers still in that top spot. We'll talk to Sophia Minert. And, of course, we're going to break down the roster. Packers making their cuts yesterday. What surprised you about the guys who will be on the 2024-2025 roster, at least right now? We'll get into that after this on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
You are listening to Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
And then you have Raj, who I didn't think he just didn't have the body type of right tackle.
I have a question. Who the hell are you talking about?
What's his name? Yash.
Raj? Like, I was thinking... Okay.
Who's Raj? You tell us, buddy.
On 94.5 ESPN.
But I'm thinking... It's time for a change. Get out of your lane. The more that you stay there, you feel like it's unfair. It's time for a change. Get out of your brain. It's time that you're wasting. You feel...
What was the thing that stood out to you most about the cuts yesterday for the Green Bay Packers? For me, it was the numbers game. I'm reading the articles that Bill Huber and Jason Wilde and all of the guys put out there about the Packers' cuts. And everybody kept saying, like, oh, they didn't keep 8 offensive linemen. They didn't keep 9 offensive linemen. They kept 10 offensive linemen. I was like, okay, good, good, good. Well, and then they kept 6 defensive ends. And they kept, and I was like, where are they getting all these roster spots from? Gabe, what of the things that happened yesterday? Obviously, there was some big news about A.J. Dillon being put on IR. IL is baseball?
Correct.
IR is football. And his season being over, there was the news about the quarterbacks, that both of them were cut. What stood out to you most about the cutdowns yesterday for the Green Bay Packers?
I think it was the A.J. Well, actually, the biggest one, I think, was Anders. Because I presumed that Anders had won that competition. And then it seems like, what is going on over there? Like, she can't even drink her tea now.
You need to take it away, Gabe. Remove it. Can't handle it. We have to take it away.
It's all over her jacket.
Just spilled tea everywhere. What is happening? Okay. Continue, please. I'm sure you were making a really brilliant point.
don't even know what I was talking about.
AJ Dillon.
Oh, AJ Dillon and Anders. I thought Anders had won the thing, but AJ Dillon, it kind of feels like this is the end of the road for him, doesn't it?
Well, this is what they're going to... If he was a jerk, they would have cut him, but he's not. He's a nice guy. So what's going to happen with AJ Dillon?
Come on, do you really believe that, Chu? Do you really believe that his personality had anything to do with the fact that he is still affiliated with the team?
Yeah.
What?
They kind of did it with Donald Driver back in the day. There's a story there that I can't tell, but I'm just telling you that's what happened.
You're the worst kind
and
of person.
I tell you what, this is what's going to happen with AJ Dillon. They knew they'd seen enough from him. His yards per carry were down. I think the three plays to get 1 yard kind of sealed the deal. What they're going to do is they put him on IR, which is essentially, we love you. Here's this year's salary. We would like you to be the next Rob Davis of the Packers.
And Rob was a player personnel guy, right?
Correct. I mean, he's perfect, right? The mayor of Door County, nice guy. It only makes sense to... He's not going to get better, right? And they're very, I can tell you this from experience, they are very suspect with injuries above the shoulders. Above the shoulders. So I think that's what's going to happen, and good for him. Because I think it would be good for him to be around the team and healthy younger guys in the transition from college to pro. So I think that's what's really going
to
happen.
Doesn't it feel like there's an aspect to AJ Dillon where it's, you worked your ass off, you like reshaped your body, and you just weren't good enough, so we kind of like, it's like the worst kind of guy. Like, you're trying your hardest, you're just not good enough. So, like, it's, you don't feel, you feel bad about it. Like, what can we tell you?
I don't feel bad. And this is not AJ Dillon specific. This is more of my perception of what the NFL has always claimed to stand for, which is, it's a meritocracy. Either you're good enough to make the team, either you're good enough to contribute, either you're productive, or you're not. And if you're not, you're on the outside looking in. It's kind of like the conversation, Gabe, that I was having with you as we were sitting down about how all of a sudden, over the last 5 years or so, there have been more and more people on social media who are reminding us football fans that yesterday is a tough day for a lot of people in the NFL. Tough crap! I'm sorry! Yeah. The league is tough. It's hard to make a team. And I'm not going to sit here and then start to, like, gently discuss guys who aren't good enough to make a team. I get it. They have a family. I get it. They've worked hard for it. I get it. It has been their dream all along. But people get fired all the time. I don't see people handling those situations with kid gloves. Like, that's why I don't agree, Chu, that the Packers, a top-tier elite organization, are somehow sentimental about this guy. But I mean, you've walked around those halls, so if you're telling me something that I've just never subscribed to, I'm willing to come around on it. But I just have never seen that before, and never thought that was real.
There was only one team that wanted him. He was a free agent. There was one team, and he's not even good enough to make that team.
But that's not their problem, right?
Yeah, but they like the guy, so I'm with Chewy. I mean,
look at what they were going to do with Brett. Look at what they were going to do with Brett. It was essentially a $22 million bribe to not play football anymore. So they do it. Do you guys remember what I'm talking about, right?
Yeah, they gave him that.
Mm-hmm. We do, so, but we're comparing Brett Favre to A.J. Dillon. I got to stop you right there.
No, but I mean, what are they going to pay him? $2 million this
year? Something like that, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that's no big deal. They were going to have to pay him an injury settlement anyways if they were just to cut him straight out. And then A.J. Dillon's, and this is how it works, okay? Then that neck stinger thing gets much worse when you're trying to get an injury settlement, you know? Where if they kept him on the roster, he'd be like, I can play in 3 or 4 weeks. Now, his tune is going to pivot. If the Packers just cut him, he's going to say, are you kidding me? This is a 12-week injury. You got to pay me $1.5 million. That's how it works. That's how it works. But I think that's how it went down. The fact that no one else wanted him this year, he was a free agent, went everywhere, and the Packers gave him a pittance of a salary. Where's he got to go? You think after this neck injury, he's going to go out into free agency and all of a sudden teams are going to be like, yeah, he's done.
There's a lot that Chewy talks about, too, where it's like, a guy who does all the right things, is in the weight room doing all that stuff, I think those guys are harder to move on from than, say, a guy who doesn't put all, like Aaron Rodgers talked about how the wide receivers weren't doing what they need to do. Like, when you're a guy like that, I think it's a lot different than, well, this guy doesn't show up, he's not working hard. It's way different when you're all the right things, including the personality stuff, and you just can't hack it.
Doesn't that make you worry a little bit, though? Like you guys are having this conversation, and again, having not walked the halls, Chu, like you have, I'm inclined to believe that you know how it shakes out in there. I got to tell you, though, as a football fan, I don't want that. I don't want sentimentality when you're creating a roster.
But it's not really sentimental because he's not on the roster. Like, they knew they couldn't keep him on the roster, but they want to do something else for him. So as a fan, like, it doesn't affect you. It's not your money that they're paying
him. It never does. I'm talking more about, like, from a across-the-board sort of standpoint, you need to be making decisions about who can get the job done, not who's nice, who people really right? And again,
I think when it comes to the 53, they are making that judgment.
But I'll give you another example, guys. I'll give you another example. Chris Gizzy. Right? What's your first image of Chris Gizzy? Running out of the tunnel with the flag.
With the American flag.
Right? 9/11. And what'd they do with him? Because he was a nice guy and he was a great story. They made him the O-line or the strength and conditioning coach. And he jumped over Mark Lavotte, who was an assistant when I was there. So they do that. You know, if you toe the company line, they like you. They're going to reward you when they want you around. John Kuhn, another great story. You know, John Kuhn's NFL career was what? I mean, I know he's a fullback.
He played for a long time.
I think longer than we all think.
Yeah,
maybe,
but he's a
maybe
fullback.
His personality is.
But he's a fullback.
That. I don't.
And I don't want to disparage fullbacks.
Like, basically, it's one click above.
It seems like you're disparaging fullbacks.
I'm just saying.
You're saying you don't.
In
want
case
to.
People didn't know what position he played, he's a fullback. Okay, and what do they do now? He's the Larry McCarron in waiting, which is great.
Played,
he does a great job.
He played 12 years in the league.
What?
Yeah.
Well, not all of them were with Green Bay. Obviously.
Correct. 9 with the Packers, 1 in Pittsburgh, 2 in New Orleans.
Give me his lifetime stats, Packer stats.
His Packer stats.
Give me rushing.
Way too much.
601 yards rushing, 15 touchdowns.
How many carries?
196.
Give me an average.
3.1.
Yeah, I'm gonna do? I'm gonna take that 10% book smart down to about a 6 right now.
Okay.
You're asking Gabe to do all the remedial math for you.
So I'm just telling you, they do that, and they should.
Yeah, that's the
because
third time
they're good ambassadors for the
doo-doo
team.
Yeah,
I keep saying doo doo
every time. And every time I want to make a joke, and every time, but now you've done it 3 times, so that's like Beetlejuice. We've got Adam Schefter coming up next on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. We still want to get to some of these other decisions that the Packers made yesterday about the roster. What do you think of the wide receiver room? Are you excited about that? What do you think of what they did with the defensive backs? Some of those guys out there who had performed really, really well during the preseason were surprise cuts yesterday. We'll get into that as the show rolls on. You've heard me talk about my garage floor and how it transformed thanks to the friends over at Showtime Floors. Their latest innovation has me even more excited. It is a sealer that gets applied, protecting your new and existing surfaces in and around your home or business. It is antimicrobial. It is UV resistant. And it is used by all the big guys you know, including right here in Milwaukee at the airport. You already know how much time I spend at the airport, so you know I'm a big fan of the floors there, right? Showtime Floors offers a 15-year warranty on their work. Bring that original color back. Go to ShowtimeFloors.com to schedule a demo today and mention ESPN for 10% off. Tell them Jen from Jen, Gabe, and Chewy sent you.
Everyone's go-to source for all NFL news.
Adam Schefter teased some big breaking news. Adam, you've told us about it. What do we got?
Adam's on the phone. Adam, yeah, you got more news? What do you got?
They're going with another move.
And he was the man who knows all, Adam Schefter.
And we're going to get right to some breaking news here that just came down. This tweet from Adam Schefter.
It's ESPN NFL insider Adam Schefter.
Each side gets wins, right? They have Jordan Love under contract for the next 5 years. Let's get this deal in the books. Let's get it done the way we want, structure it. If you're Jordan Love, you're banking all that guaranteed money. You're set. You're set for life. So, again, I think both sides win.
Adam Schefter on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy is presented by Orthopedic Associates of Wisconsin. There is a difference. Also sponsored by Island Resort and Casino.
We are efforting Adam Schefter here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Just give us a few minutes to get the technology up and running between Chewy stuff this week. And, you know, this happens. This type of stuff happens. I am very interested in what Adam Schefter has to say about this private equity development in the NFL. We were talking about it a little bit this morning. Chew, you're not a fan. You don't like the idea of this private equity 10%, you know, being able to buy into NFL teams. Why?
He is, they're bullies. They're bullies. And having some experience with private equity, I'm just worried that they're going to try and get more of the pie than the 10% that they're allowed to grab right now, because they're bullies. They'll be the big guy, and hopefully they'll never get control of a franchise because they're going to push everyone else out. They have a lot of power. And a lot of, you know, I've had experience with buyouts. For example, when a private equity goes and tries to buy a company and there's an earnout, right? They never pay on the earnout.
How does that work, okay? Though? You would think, too, that there would be some language in a contract.
There is, but they don't care. They use the courts. And what they do is, say you sell your company for X amount of dollars and there's a $5 million buyout, right? Based upon the benchmarks you have to hit. They're never paying out on those benchmarks, okay? You can say, hey, I reached the threshold of whatever percentage. They're going to say, no, you didn't. They bring in their forensic accountant and say, no, you didn't. And then there's a fight between the person who sold the company and the private equity. And then what happens, private equity has so much money, to the little guy, they're like, I don't care. We'll take you to court. We'll bleed you dry. Go ahead and sue us. Do you want to pay $500,000 in legal fees to get $5 million. They're kind of ruthless.
We now have Adam Schefter, so let's bring him in on this conversation. Adam, good morning. How are you doing today?
Welcome back, Jen. I apologize about the technical difficulties. My connection is not working with video today, so again, we're just calling in today instead. Apologies.
As they say in Ireland, no worries. Let's get to this private equity thing, because we were just talking about this new, I guess the NFL has decided. It was, I think I saw, nearly unanimous by the owners. I believe there was only one person who voted against it. How does this change the NFL, if at all, from a fan perspective?
Well, I don't think from a perspective much is going to change. I think the idea here is that this has been going on in other sports, and it's another revenue stream for NFL teams, so that if a team is valued at $5 billion with the prices of these franchises skyrocketing, and a team needs some cash, which some teams have had needed that in the past to build a training facility, to build a stadium, whatever it may be, they can sell up to 10% of their franchise to vetted, approved private equity firms who've been dying to get into business to do this anyway. So it now creates another revenue stream for NFL owners at a time when franchise values are skyrocketing. And the other thing that it does also, I think, is when you see the Commanders go for $6.05 billion or whatever the price was, I'm pretty close to it, you start to price out some buyers. Like, there's not a lot of people in this world who could go afford $6 billion today. And by the way, it may be more in the future. It's going to be more in the future. So now if you bring in private equity firms to absorb 10% of the cost, it makes it a little bit more manageable. It makes it feel a little bit more doable.
My concern, Adam, is they're going to want more. It's going to start at 10%. And once private equity gets control of an organization, I don't think that's a good thing, because then they're controlling the firing of everyone, firing of coaches. I think as long as they stay at 10%, which they're not going to try to do, they're going to try to get to 51%, it's fine. But once they cross that threshold and become the majority owner of the franchise, I think we're going to have problems. I really do. And I don't.
What I would say to that is this. It took a long time for the NFL to get to 10% equity involvement. A long time. And if it ever gets to 51%, I cannot see that being anytime soon. I just cannot see that. Like, that's years away from happening.
Well,
years.
To Chewy's point, though, Adam, now, and it's not 51, I just want to be clear on this, but according to the ESPN.com article on this very topic, the NFL is the last of the major sports leagues in the United States to allow private equity funding. Right. The NBA, the NHL, the MLB, MLS, and NWSL all allow for up to 30% of a franchise to be owned by these private equity companies. That's a little bit closer to the 51.
Again, yeah, there you go. Okay, so 30% in the other sports, the NFL, I think, because it's the last one, is going to try it and see how it works. And then the league would have the option, if it so chooses, to be able to raise the stake of private equity involvement to up to 30%. Now, we're just coming up with that number because that's the number in other leagues. There must be a reason that they came up to that number. I don't know it particularly. I'd have to ask people in this area why it is 30%. And yeah, would I be surprised if eventually the NFL got there? Probably not. Like, again, there were people who thought that private equity wouldn't find its way into the National Football League, and it did, and here we are at 10%. So let's see where that goes.
Adam, yesterday, roster cut down day, everybody down to 53. Is that one of the busiest days of the year for you, trying to keep up with everything going on and all the players being released?
Well, from an actual numerical standpoint, yes, because you have basically 32 teams making 37 moves. So it's just a huge number of transactions. I still think, you know, the first couple of days of free agency are probably the busiest days, and the draft day is a busy day. But from the quantity involved, the volume involved, yesterday's probably the busiest day on the NFL calendar for everybody because it just goes nonstop with all these teams making moves. Now, again, I mentioned every team cutting down 37 players. 16 players are signed on to practice squads, so 21 are out of work. 21 times 32, you do the math. What is 21 times 32? Let's see right here.
782.
There you go. Okay, 782 players are going to be out of work here. Like, time to...
Wait.
Move on and
wait. Adam, are you just taking Chewy's word for it that he was able to do the math?
Dave, just let it go.
Oh, okay. 32. I know it. 672. Good job.
There. That's the point. I was close.
College education. Yeah, right.
Adam, by now you should know better.
Like,
I appreciate the blind faith in the big guy that you're providing, but by now you should know you have got to put
Adam, the backstory is this. Adam, the very first segment we came out, I said, would you rather be street smart or book smart, right? So, and you know, I tell them, I'm 90% street smart, 10% book smart. So for me to come out with that number, that's why Jen and Gabe were like, you got to be kidding me.
We knew that you were
kidding us. We knew it wasn't real. The fact that Adam ran with it, I just didn't know what was going on.
Yeah, and did you know that smart is spelled S-M-A-R-T, Chewy? Did you know that, Joe?
There's no E on the end?
No E. Very good.
Adam, we didn't get to talk to you about the Malik Willis trade. Is there anything there? Did you hear about any of those conversations? Obviously, he has slipped in now, slides into the backup quarterback. The rumor is that they're going to keep Sean Clifford as the practice squad guy. Is there anything that Packers fans need to know about Malik Willis? They hope that he is not in there, obviously, as the backup quarterback. But I think the goal is to have somebody who can win you some games if he's pressed into duty.
Well, here's a guy that's, when he has gotten time in the preseason, you know, he's made some plays, and obviously they feel like they can help him grow and improve as a quarterback. The Titans were more comfortable going with Mason Rudolph, whose style of play I think more closely resembles Will Levis, and I think Malik Willis, probably his style of play, a little bit closer to Jordan Love's than it is Will Levis, and clearly Green Bay. You know, when Malik Willis was coming out, there were people who thought he was a first-round talent. And there were people that identified him as a really strong prospect. And obviously, Green Bay must have had a good grade on him at that point in time to make the trade. And the cost is not very high at all. So they're getting a backup quarterback on the cheap when clearly they didn't believe in the quarterbacks they had as backups for Jordan Love. So they made that move. And, you know, that to me, that was expected, honestly. I thought that they would be in that market for a quarterback. I thought they'd be in the market for a kicker, and they are, right? We don't know who their kicker is going to be yet, do we?
Well, that's the next thing. I mean, who's potentially out there? I was just kind of scrolling through last night, Adam, after all the cuts were done, and ESPN.com did a great job of having all the guys who were cut for every team. I'm scrolling through last night.
Yep.
The list of kickers out there, I mean, I don't see anybody who would be appreciably better than what they have in Greg Joseph, as he's the one who they kept on the roster.
Yeah. The name that came up the other day to me was Matthew Wright, who was with the Pittsburgh Steelers. I didn't see if the Steelers cut him yesterday. I'd have to check. I have the wire with me. But, you know, Greg Joseph may be the guy, but it wouldn't shock me if they went out and found another kicker. That wouldn't surprise me either. So I think that could go either way.
Adam, we saw that C.D. Lamb signed a couple of days ago. Do you think a Dak deal is close?
No, I don't. But that doesn't mean that they couldn't get there. Like, you know, last week a C.D. Lamb deal wasn't close, and then it got there. And I think that there will be a push before the start of the season to try to get a Dak deal done. But, you know, if I'm Dak Prescott, you know, I guess it's Dallas. If you want to stay there and the offer is right, then you can go ahead and do it. But the idea of Dak Prescott as a free agent next March, when I can give you a half dozen obvious landing spots, when his price to me would be $60 million minimum, there's something that's intriguing about that, right? So he's got a lot of leverage, being that the Dallas Cowboys can't place the franchise tag on him. So, by the way, Matthew Wright was released yesterday from Pittsburgh. Mm-hmm. So that's a guy that, again, just I don't want to see the list of kickers out there that Gabe went through. But that's a name that I know was brought up to me earlier over the weekend. We were talking about Packers kickers with Craig Karmazin.
Adam, before we let you go, couldn't help but notice a viral video from NFL Live where it appeared as though you were talking about a certain tight end for the Kansas City Chiefs who may or may not have purchased an engagement ring for a certain international superstar. Would you care to share any details you might have on that situation? I know that it was Laura talking about him not purchasing a ring, and then you said, well, how do you know he hasn't purchased a ring? And you are the guy who knows all the things. So it got my eyebrows up is all I'm trying to say.
But that's all it was, Jen. It was good fun, right? Because my daughter is going to be 16 years old, and she's a be Swifty. And there's been all this speculation from people about the fact that there are people out there, I have no idea what's right or wrong, that think that Travis and Taylor already are engaged or married. They think that, right? Now, I don't know if that's true or not, but Laura Rutledge came out of the break and just said, well, we know Travis Kelce hasn't purchased a ring, but he has purchased a horse, and he named it after Taylor Swift. And so all I said was, how do you know that he hasn't purchased a ring? All I do is raise the question, right? And she's like, well, what do you know? I'm just asking you.
Yes,
how do you know that?
Sure. Know? But the big difference here is, Adam, if I say to Laura Rutledge, how do you know he hasn't purchased a ring? People dismiss it because they're like, she doesn't know anything. But you're Adam bleeping Schefter, okay? We feel like you've got the inside track on all of the things. And obviously, this is peripheral NFL because of Travis Kelce. So you got a little more responsibility than, say, in that situation,
well,
right?
Here's the thing. If Shefty breaks this, if Shefty somehow gets on the inside and breaks the engagement news, that's the biggest story of your career, right?
Honestly, right?
Where does the cost of the ring, where does the cost of the ring start? So if he goes to the jewelry center, is he saying, yeah, I'm looking like at a $7 million ring?
Well, I mean, he's got some extra money laying around after signing a $100 million deal with Amazon for the podcast.
Oof.
I understand that he's debating bringing in 10% private equity ownership on the ring.
Can we do that?
Sure, you can do whatever you want.
Rings are expensive these days. You need help funding the ring.
What cost?
He's going to allow... He needs to vet the private equity firms to make sure that they're approved and then make an invest up to 10%. and the engagement ring that he would purchase for Taylor Swift if he hasn't purchased it already.
You know what's crazy is we're talking about how the pool of people who can afford NFL franchises continues to shrink, right, as the price or the value of these teams goes up and up. You know who could afford to purchase an NFL team? Yeah. Likely?
Probably Taylor. Taylor.
Probably a couple of them. Yeah.
All right, Adam, we really appreciate you this morning. Have a great week, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Adam Schefter brought to us each and every week by the Island Resort and Casino, a premier resort destination, the largest north of Milwaukee, with everything you like to do in one awesome location. Visit islandresortandcasino.com and book your total experience today.
It's Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Unbelievable that they ran all over this vaunted defense, this elite defense.
What Kool-Aid?
Why? It was poop Kool-Aid, and we gobbled it down.
On 94.5 ESPN.
I fell for the devil's daughter. I jumped in, yeah, I drank the water. Town is toxic, can you fix my brain? Cause everyone that says I'm insane, help me loosen this falling chain.
Ryan from Iguanago weighing in saying, when Travis Kelce starts doing commercials for a local jewelry company, I guess we'll know what's coming next. You know, much like Gabe and our buddy Ashton, you know, when you guys need something for the lady. You work with Dean the Dance Machine.
I mean, I'm sure Dean would love to work with Travis.
You think he's getting lab grown?
Can't imagine.
I mean, why not?
Like, I mean,
more bang for your buck.
But yeah. He's got all the money. Like,
sure, but more, I mean, just the reason you keep all that money because, you do the smart thing, yes, Jen. More bang for your buck with the lab grown.
But seriously, where does it start? $10 million ring?
Oh,
I mean, come on.
I think you got to start looking at like what some of the other celebrities rings. You know, look at her friend group. That's what I would do, right? Look at the Blake Livelys. Look at some of those gals that she pals around with and see what their ring is. Because Travis is going to know.
Well, J-Lo's got one for sale, right?
You think she's just consignmenting her wedding? Well, she's got a lot of them.
Why wouldn't she?
I don't know. She feels like she might hold on to those.
You're telling me she's not putting those on display? Like you might have your Super Bowl ring on display?
Yeah.
I'm looking it up right now. One? How much J-Lo engagement ring? The 15-carat ring from Alex Rodriguez was $1 million.
Oh, that's it?
How about the... Okay, hold on. Again, she's got several of them, so hold on. The most expensive and rarest ring in J-Lo's collection is a magnificent 8.5-carat blue radiant-cut diamond flanked by trapezoid-cut diamonds on a platinum band that was given to her by Mark Anthony, worth $6.5 million. You think Travis has got to go up and above $6.5 for Taylor's ring?
Probably.
You said 10. You might not be that far off.
Yeah.
What does a $10 million ring look like? Do you even wear a $10 million ring?
It looks like this.
There you go. Yeah. That's what I'm saying. Like
at that point it becomes so cumbersome.
Like, how are you even wearing that and functioning in society?
Right? Like, look at this.
I hope Travis doesn't snore. That's all I'm going to say.
Oh, because when she in the middle of the night.
Yeah. Because I had a bruise on my lip, and I'm like, how did that come from?
And you think it was Angie's ring?
Of course it was.
Where else would it come from?
Yeah, I suppose.
He's not walking into doors.
Fair enough. All right, lots of stuff to get to in the second hour of the show. We do have Sophia Minert. She is going to join us. We're going to continue talking about the Packers roster cutdowns and this $500,000 scratch-off ticket. What is the obligation to tip somebody who might have led you directly to that fortune? We'll get into that on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.